Mike Evans gets into the Hall of Fame. David gives his bold predictions. And is there someone that could find their way onto the Buccaneers roster before too long? We get into all of it. Let's go.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, and welcome to the Locked On Bucs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We are your daily podcast covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. And we thank you for making us your first listen or view of the day. I am James Yarko, finally reunited with my co-host, David Harrison. He covers the Bucs for Sports Illustrated's BucsGameDay.com. Of course, my work is over at SB Nation's BucsNation.com. And of course, you can follow everything on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JYarko_Bucks, and at DHarrison82.
And we do thank you again for making the Locked On Bucks podcast your first listen or your first view every single day. Shout out to everybody for hanging with James last week as I was in the process of dying. And thank you to you, sir, for covering the show as I was laid up feeling very, very bad for myself and my wife, who had to take care of me and then got sick on her own. Today's episode of the Locked On Bucks podcast is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Pick 2 to 5 players. If they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on your entry. First time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. The Rob Gronkowski return rumors just won't quit, James.
Nope.
And we're going to talk about those in segment 3. But first, here in segment 1, let's talk about something that's actually happening or something that actually happened, and that is Buccaneers wide receiver Mike Evans getting inducted into the Texas A&M Hall of Fame over the weekend, along with 2 former Aggies teammates, including quarterback Johnny Manziel, who James reminded me did a lot of good things in college. And then he was drafted in the NFL and things went a little bit sideways.
Go to the Cleveland Browns.
That is what, yes, absolutely. So, well, but some people decide to go sideways before they go to Cleveland. They bring the drama to Cleveland instead of waiting for Cleveland to turn the drama on to them. So accurate. We'll see if that approach works any better than the other approaches that we've seen in the past. But in his enshrinement speech, Mike Evans said, among other things, quote, "I've played in the Super Bowl. I've played in meaningful games and nothing can beat the Texas A&M atmosphere. I love this place," end quote. So there's 2 things to this, right? And I feel like there's probably a Buccaneers fan out there, James, that got a little bit offended of Mike Evans saying that nothing beats playing at Texas A&M. But here's what I would say to those people, if any of them exist, which I hope there's not, because I hope everybody understands the college football atmosphere, especially the big time college football atmosphere, the Texas A&Ms of the world, the Ohio States of the world, the Georgias, the Bamas, not the Illinois, sometimes the Arizona States, depending on what's happening,
the Notre Dame,
very often the Notre Dames, the USCs, right? Those places, those atmospheres are electric, man. Penn State, yeah. The whiteout, like I'm not even a Penn State fan, but I have on my bucket list to attend a Penn State whiteout game. And I don't even care who they're playing. I will wear white and I will be a Penn State fan that night because that atmosphere is absolutely amazing. I don't think what Mike said should take anything away from Buccaneers fans, from Raymond James Stadium, from everything he's experienced there. I think that the collegiate atmosphere is unique in its unity, for one, because again, every fan there, you're either a student, you're an alum, or let's be honest, like if you're a fan of a college, you at one point in time dreamed of going to said college, right? So you are emotionally invested in the brand. Whereas NFL fans, there are some NFL fans that are totally invested in the brand, and I totally get that. But let's be fair, like the ratio of fans that are invested in the brand as a representation of who you are is a slightly different atmosphere than in college. So I think that's what he meant, and I hope that's how it was taken. But I think what really stood out about the speech, James, I know you have some takeaways directly from it, so I'll kind of stay general, is just this air of appreciation that Mike Evans has. Yeah. And we've seen it in the National Football League. We've seen it since he's become a Buccaneer, and it's what's made him a fan favorite with Buccaneers fans, is this man legitimately, like, you know, he talks about coming, you know, from very little And now he has a whole lot, you know, and he's got his family. He protects his family time. And we've reached out to his agent during the offseason, and almost to a T, the answer is always Mike is really protective of his family time. And we're always very, very appreciative of that. One of the times I got to talk to him, it was at Chris Godwin's foundation launch event. And I came up to him and said, "Hey, Mike, do you have a couple minutes to talk about Chris's foundation?" And he just very nicely, right? I don't want to say, it wasn't like rude or anybody. He was like, "Yeah, bro." He's like, "As long as we're talking about Chris's foundation," I said, "Absolutely." So we talked about Chris's foundation. And then I turned it to his foundation. I was like, "Hey, you know, anything coming up with your foundation?" He talked about it. And I left football out of it because that's what he wanted to do in that moment. Like, he wanted to make sure this is all about the causes. This is all about, you know, the philanthropic efforts and all those things. And just a genuinely down to earth dude who loves magic. He loves Hogwarts. Whatever that is, right? Look, 2 years he played with Texas A&M, 2,500 receiving yards, almost. He was like 1 yard shy, 17 touchdowns, first round draft pick. I mean, one of the greatest Aggies to ever come through that program. Great to see him getting his due, getting into the Hall of Fame there. And also great to see Mike just being Mike, man, a guy who just appreciates every opportunity he's had. And even the successes he's earned, not taking them on his own shoulders.
Yeah, and I got the opportunity to speak with him after the Colts game last week or a week and a half ago. And I simply just wanted to thank him. I told him my son met you at training camp a couple of weeks ago, and he went on and on about how nice you were to him, and that really stuck with him. So as a father, I just wanted to say thank you for being so gracious to my son. And he just looked at me like, why would you thank me for this? You know, that's just kind of how it is or how it should be. But, you know, as wonderful as and as gracious as he is, he goes, "Oh, absolutely. No problem. I'm glad I got to meet him." You know, didn't ask for his name or anything. Just knew that he had met this kid that he made this impression on by just being himself. And it's things like that that makes Mike Evans such an endearing person and player to the Buccaneer community, right? Like, yeah, you know, he's going to go out there. He's going to get 1,000 yards. He's going to continue to do it unlike any receiver before him. He's going to get to the Pro Bowl. He's going to get you, you know, on average, those double digit touchdowns. But it's what he does in the community. It's his graciousness to the fans. It's the finding the person with his jersey and giving them his touchdown football when he scores. It's, you know, the Mike Evans Family Foundation. It's all of those things, and that's why he's so beloved with this team, right? It's akin to a Derrick Brooks. Like, everybody loved Derrick Brooks because he was a great player, but he was also a wonderful person. There's that famous story about how he, you know, there were these season ticket holders back behind the Brooks's bunch thing on the banner, and the father of that family died tragically, and Derrick Brooks paid for college for the daughter because she had just lost her father. And it's things like that that really stick with the fans long after these players are gone. But David, all of that brings up the topic of, if Mike Evans were to retire today — he's not, but if he did, is he going in the Ring of Honor? Is he going in the Pro Football Hall of Fame? Like, you know, scale of 1 to 10, 1 being no chance, 10 being, you know, no question in my mind. Let's do it right now. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think at some point Mike Evans obviously has to go in the Ring of Honor. I mean, for one, just what he means to the franchise. He's got franchise records. He's done all these things. He set an NFL record and all those things. But just, again, the way that he personifies the team, right? I mean, we talk about, like, you go back to Gerald McCoy when he left the team. This conversation came up is, will he someday be in the Ring of Honor? Will he do the one-day contract, retire a Buccaneer? All those things. And, you know, a lot of uproar when his jersey number was given to Ndamukong Suh and all. But Mike Evans is — not only has Mike done what, you know, a lot of people, what they praise Gerald for, right, was being a classy type of a classy loser. Let's just call it what it is. Honestly, like, you're part of a team that loses a lot, but you do it with class, and you're not out there, you know, demanding trades and bashing teammates and coaches and all those things, right? And Mike did that. But then Mike also became a winner. And we got to see Mike Evans become a winner with the Buccaneers, and he did that with just as much class. And I think that's really the thing. Again, you go back to his college years, 2,500 yards, 17 touchdowns, first-round draft pick. And then the NFL, 8 straight seasons with 1,000 receiving yards to start a career, nearly 10 touchdowns on average, you know, as every single season, a four-time Pro Bowler. And this guy could be one of the most danciest, you know, selfie taken, you know, meme dancers, I don't know, TikTokers in the league and get away with it, but he's not. He's a down to earth guy. I don't know that I would. So you have other guys, right? Hardy Nickerson's a guy that comes to mind. James Wilder's a guy that comes to mind. Like, do I put Mike Evans in the first year after he retires? You would love to, but there's some other guys that need some burn as well. And Mike, you know, you can kind of come back to Mike like 5-6 years from now and do it. Hall of Fame, I think that's where you get a little bit, it gets a little bit murkier. Do I think he should be a Hall of Fame receiver? Absolutely. I mean, he broke a Randy Moss record. That's a very, very difficult record to break. But would he be a first ballot Hall of Famer? I just think that with the way the voting tends to go, I don't know that he would be. And unfortunately, some of that comes because of a lack of sexiness, I think. And that's really sad to say that his down-to-earth persona could actually hurt him in something like that.
Yeah, I stray away from you a little bit on the Ring of Honor decision. I do think that is a first year after retirement, is immediately placed in there. Just because of everything that he's done for the organization, for the community, the records that he has set and broken. As far as the Pro Football Hall of Fame, I agree. I don't think he's a first ballot guy because there's only been, what is it, like 7 or 8 first ballot Hall of Fame wide receivers. And while he's done something that none of those guys did, you're right. He lacks the sexiness. He lacks the attention. He's not even ranked in the top 50 on the NFL's top 100. But I do think that he does have the stats to back him up and get into the Hall of Fame, especially coming out of the wide receiver class that he did in 2014 alongside guys like Odell Beckham Jr. that did get all the flash and all the headlines. He's done what those other receivers just haven't been able to do.
Absolutely. Not saying that we agree with it, guys. Just saying that's probably the makeup of the voters. And as unfortunate as it probably is, that's just the reality that we live in. James made some bold predictions last week, so it's only right that I go on the record myself and risk my reputation and make some as well, because week one is right around the corner. And maybe you don't really care about the Rams or the Bills, but you could. Maybe you don't care about the teams, but you have a vested interest in Josh Allen, Allen Robinson, Dawson Knox, or Cam Akers. That's exactly what I'm going to be doing on Thursday night, watching the game, looking to make some money off of millionaires playing football, and I'm going to do it on Prize Picks. It's super easy. You pick 2 to 5 players. If they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. It's not competing with other people and their crazy algorithms, just you against the projections. And it's not just NFL. They've got NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, PGA, college sports, and more. Each entry can be made in under 60 seconds, and they offer safe and fast withdrawals. Prize Picks is currently available in over 30 states and Canada. Fortunately for me, Virginia is one of those states. Download the Prize Picks apps or go to the prizepicks.com website. Sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. Don't forget to enter promo code Locked On at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. Thanks again for making the Locked On Bucks podcast first listen or your first view every single day. James made bold predictions, so now it's my turn. But in case anyone missed his, James, what are your 20 bold predictions for the upcoming season?
Yeah, if you did miss it, I do recommend you go back and check out Friday's episode, because not only did I make some bold predictions, but we had some bold predictions coming in from viewers on the live chat that we talked about on the show. But I'm going to start off. I did 4 on defense, 4 on offense. And on the defensive side of the ball, I said that Joe Tryon Shoyinka is going to lead the team in sacks. Jamel Dean is going to lead the team in interceptions. Levante David will match a career high with 5 forced fumbles, and Devin White is going to get 5 combined takeaways, whether that's interceptions, fumble recoveries, whatever the case may be, career high 5 for Devin White this season. On the offensive side of the ball, Tom Brady, 45 touchdown passes this year. Julio Jones, 600 yards with 6 touchdown receptions. Leonard Fournette would have 1,400 all-purpose yards and double-digit touchdowns. And the Beckett special, my son made this prediction. Mike Evans, 1,500 yards and 15 touchdowns.
Yeah, though I like all of those. I picked three favorites, and just being truthful, all three of them came from the offense. It's kind of weird how it worked that way. I don't think Joe Tryon-Schwenk is going to lead the team in sacks as much as I would enjoy that. I just don't think it's going to happen. Jamel Dean leading the team in interceptions. While I could see it happening, I don't know how bold that is. I just got to be honest with you. I don't know how bold that is. But I will say that Julio Jones having 600 yards and six touchdowns is pretty bold. I don't think a lot of people would expect that kind of production out of Julio. I would love to see it. Been a fan of Julio since he joined the NFL, obviously playing for the Falcons, and me covering the Buccaneers kind of made it a little bit conflicting to appreciate all the things that he's done over the years, but still would be very, very happy to see Julio have that kind of a resurgence in his career a little bit. Not a 1,000-yard season, you know what I mean, but still 600 yards, six touchdowns is pretty good. Lenny, 1,400 total yards, double-digit TDs. You would love to see that. I've been recommending to a lot of people that have hit me up for fantasy advice to go ahead and make Leonard Fournette one of your selections. I can't remember who got him in our Locked On Bucks fantasy league, but I had my eye on him, and he got snatched up about two picks before me. So some smart Buccaneers fans playing fantasy football with us this year, James. And then my favorite one actually is the Beckett specials, the Mike Evans, 1,500 yards, 15 touchdowns. Look, one of my bold predictions was going to be Mike Evans setting career highs across the board, career high in catches, career high in yards, career high in touchdowns, those yards and those touchdowns. I think the yards is actually shy of his career. I think it was his high is what, 1,550. I think he would have to have a career high.
It's a little more than 1,500.
Yeah. So I think I was going to go 1,550 for the yards, 15 touchdowns, and 100 receptions. James, Mike Evans has not had a 100 reception season yet in his career, which is amazing to me.
But he still keeps getting 1,000 yards.
Right. And he's not known as a yards after catch guy, but he still has 1,000 yards. Like, it's just, again, just all the praise to Mike Evans in this episode today. We like Mike. That's what we do. We like Mike on this show. So that is my favorite, because I was actually going to go with something very similar to that prediction. But I made four bold predictions of my own. Two on defense, two on offense. I'm not going to go completely 4-4 like James did, because we don't have the whole episode for that. But James, I'm going to run these down for you. Zion McCollum. You know, he's one of my favorites. Talk to him every single day. We were at training camp. Zion McCollum will have the second most interceptions on the team. And I'm kind of being a little bit bold here, not just by making the prediction. We're talking about your fourth cornerback, a rookie, playing behind Carlton Davis, behind Jamel Dean, behind Sean Murphy Bunting. And, oh, by the way, you got Logan Ryan, who's a veteran out there who can drop down into a cornerback position. So this is a guy who's not going to get a whole lot of reps, right? But you were there too. This kid is in position. I know he got beat for a touchdown in the preseason game, but this kid, when he's healthy, when he's on the field, he is in position. This kid knows how to play football, and he can hang in the NFL. There's a few mechanics he's got to get right, but once he does, he is going to be a threat. Second most interceptions on the team, Zion McCollum, in his rookie season. That's what's going to happen. My first offensive prediction, Scotty Miller, the much maligned Scotty Miller that a lot of you try to tell me was not safe on this roster. Career season, 53 targets, 33 catches, 501 yards, and three touchdowns minimum. Scotty Miller, career season. Tom Brady kept him for a reason. And yes, Tom Brady is the one who kept him. My second defensive prediction, Akiem Hicks is going to lead the defensive line in sacks. Not the defense, the defensive line in sacks. His career high is 8.5 sacks. That was back in 2017 with Chicago Bears. Last year, Ndamukong Suh led the D-line with 6 of them. Akiem Hicks will lead the defensive line this year in sacks, even though he's going to be rotating out with Logan Hall, I believe, here and there. And then finally, my final offensive prediction is not team-centric. A Buccaneers receiver will lead the NFC South, the entire division, in receptions, yards, and touchdowns. Maybe not the same one. Maybe it's Chris in receptions, Mike in yards, and Scotty in touchdowns. I don't know. That's probably not going to happen. But a Buccaneers receiver, could be a tight end too, will lead the entire division in receptions, yards, and touchdowns. Those are my bold predictions.
I did forget to mention, I'm glad you didn't do it. I gave a bonus prediction that I didn't have written down, that even though Chris Godwin is going to be missing time, he's still going to finish with 1,000 yards.
Yep.
I like all of these. And look, I've mentioned it on the podcast before, and I'll continue to mention it. You know, when I spoke to Antoine Winfield Jr., he talked about how much he loves Zion McCollum, how crazy athletic he is, how intelligent he is, and how well he fits this defense. So I don't know. You could see we've seen the battle between Jamel Dean and Sean Murphy Bunting for that coveted number two corner spot. You could see Zion McCollum emerge, you know, through the season towards the end of the year as the new number three corner, giving him even more opportunity to make your bold prediction come true. I think your Scotty Miller one is probably the boldest of all of them. Because don't forget, Devin Tompkins is sitting there waiting on the practice squad, just waiting.
It's okay. Waiting. We'll put these in the receipts document. We'll revisit these later on.
We will. And then Akeem Hicks, yeah, I can absolutely see it. They brought him in for a reason, right? The attention's going to be on Vita Vea. The attention's going to be on Shaq Barrett. Part of my reasoning for the bold prediction of Joe Tryon Troyinka leading the team is because of all the one-on-one opportunities he's going to end up with, and being able to win those opportunities are what is going to lead to all those sacks. So I can see the exact same thing happening for Akeem Hicks this year. So, David, more Gronk talk coming up, because Tom Brady has caused everyone to just not believe in retirement announcements. So we're going to be talking Gronk coming up in just a moment. Wrapping things up here on the Locked On Bucks podcast, and Drew Rosenhaus still doesn't believe that Rob Gronkowski is done. Super agent Drew Rosenhaus said in an interview with Rob Maddie that he doesn't think that Gronk is truly done playing football. And while expressing that this is strictly his opinion and not something he was told by Gronk himself, Rosenhaus said, quote, "Gronk is having a great time away from football. Looks like he's really enjoying himself. He says he's retired for good. I always stick with my opinion. And as I've said before, I wouldn't be surprised if circumstances played out in a given fashion where Tom Brady and the Buccaneers need Rob if later in the season Rob decides he's going to come back for his guy Tom Brady and maybe finish the year out and help them win another championship. That would not surprise me. I'm not predicting that, and I'm not saying that's coming from Rob because it's not. Rob says he's retired, but that's just my opinion. I've represented him for more than a decade, and that's just my gut feeling," end quote. David, Gronk retiring and unretiring and speculation is the story that just will not go away.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on Rosenhaus's comments regarding the lovable, goofy former Patriot and Buccaneer tight end Rob Gronkowski?
My final bold prediction of the episode: Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus Arizona Cardinals will be the final game that the Buccaneers play without Rob Gronkowski on the roster.
Christmas Day.
Tom Brady's getting him a big old Gronk under the Christmas tree, and he'll get to play with him shortly after the holiday season is over. I don't know. I honestly think that he would be back early January. I don't think Gronk would be ready to still go into full, you know, playing action and all that stuff right away. But I think, you know, last game or two of the year and then playoff push. Tom Brady ruined me on retirement announcements.
Who returns first, Rob Gronkowski or Ryan Jensen?
Ryan Jensen.
Okay.
Ryan Jensen's back before Thanksgiving.
Oh, wow. That might be your boldest of all predictions.
Yep. I mean, that's just the feeling I get. I'm not a doctor. I've spoken to some doctors, but I'm not a doctor. I just, that's the feeling I get. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I think we've got a somewhat Vita Vea type situation going on here. And I think that Ryan Jensen, you know, barring setbacks, which of course you hope, you know, doesn't happen. But I think before Thanksgiving, he's back.
Now, I could see a situation where if Gronk were to return, it might be early December.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're right that it would probably take until the Cardinals game, maybe the week after, before he is in shape enough to get on the football field. But I can certainly see a situation where the Bucs are hovering around 10 wins and maybe they've dealt with an injury or two. You hope not, but it's certainly within the realm of possibility. And they just need that last little piece to be able to put them over the edge. And it just takes a phone call from Tom. And he's like, look, dude, I know you're retired. I'm about to retire.
Let's do it.
Give me 10 weeks. Give me 10 weeks of your life. It's not even 20% of a year. Yeah. Give me 10 weeks so we can go run this back. We can go hoist another Lombardi. We can drink our avocado tequila, jam out to Bad Boys for Life one more time. And then group
vacation. Right off in the sunset. And in 5 years, we'll go to Canton together. Exactly. Here's the thing, man. Like, I understand what Rob says, and I'm not calling Rob a liar by any means, but there's a reason the paperwork ain't filed yet. That's all I'm saying. There's a reason the paperwork's not filed yet.
Yeah. And Ali Marpet filed his paperwork via handwritten note on Instagram saying, I am retired, signed Ali Marpet. But Brady never filed his. Gronk didn't file his. Go rewind the clock to the late, mid-2000s?
Yeah.
Brett Favre never filed that paperwork, and then all of a sudden he was a New York Jet, and then he was a Minnesota Viking. That's a good point.
Yeah, man.
And let's be honest, who doesn't want to have one last Gronk spike?
Everybody wants Gronk back. Don't kid yourselves. The only people who don't want Gronk back are people who have Cam Brady or Kyle Rudolph on their fantasy rosters.
And if that's who you chose a tight end, that's your own problem. I would not.
And even still, my theory and even your theory actually still hold. Like, it still probably wouldn't even impact your fantasy season. So it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, that's true, because championships are probably going to be happening by time the Bucs play the Cardinals. So,
All right.
Yeah. We're going to continue to talk about Gronk as long as it's relevant. And when people like Drew Rosenhaus have interviews, and basically just keep that door open a little bit, because we've learned our lesson. We can't count anybody out until the paperwork's filed. Right. All right.
Yep. But it's game week.
It is game week. We're talking Bucks Cowboys this week. We're going to have another episode coming up for you tomorrow. We want to thank all of you for making the Locked On Bucks podcast your first listen of the day. Now for your second listen, go check out the Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022, an 8-episode extravaganza to get you ready for the NFL season, the local team experts of the Locked On Podcast Network, plus a betting angle from Lee Sterling of Locked On Bets, all combining into one Ultimate NFL Preview. Search for Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022 on your Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcast. We will be back tomorrow. If you have any takes, reactions, anything at all that you would like to share with us, any questions, you can leave us a voicemail at 813-444-5841, or you can send us a good old-fashioned email, lockedonbuckspodcast@gmail.com. Check out David's work over at bucksgameday.com. Check out mine over at bucksnation.com. And of course, make sure you are following along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JRCO_Bucks, and at DHarrison82. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding holiday Monday. Stay safe, stay healthy, fire those cannons. And we thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.